Seven is a
secondary plan under the Waverly West Town Center neighborhood under file SP2 of 2010.
Would the applicant come now?
What do we have registered for this one, Dan, before we move ahead?
Same.
The people that are, were here for information, I'm assuming, are now here in support. Okay. We'll amend those to ensure that that reflects that. Okay, Paul, go ahead. You're going to go through some of the same stuff, so the redundancy piece and skipping forward is what we're looking
for. And that's what I'll do. And just for information, the two young staff are new graduates out of the planning school, and they've just been hired by the firm. So this is their first exposure to the public hearing process.
Good.
Part of an education tonight. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As mentioned before...
Councillor Mandel hasn't married off.
No, no, not yet.
I thought they were looking to purchase a home.
Well, possibly in the longer term. Very briefly, then, what we're going to focus on the town center is on the land use and street system. This is a little bit more detailed in that this is different than the other neighborhoods. A little bit of information on the land use, the details of that. Want to spend some time on making sure that it's understood the type of character that we're trying to create within the town center. This is a commercial area that's going to be different than any other of the commercial areas that we've seen to date in Winnipeg and suburban areas. And so I think this is quite a unique opportunity to move forward with a very different plan, and I'll explain that more in a minute. And then also to tie in the active transportation systems and the walkability elements of this as well. Go ahead. Very briefly, Mr. Chair, if you recall, again, when we went back and did the area structure plan, one of the interesting challenges for us was how to ensure that the neighborhoods were well connected together and at the same time accommodate the city's needs for a major transportation corridor through the area. And when you have a major transportation corridor, typically the city looks at buffering that on the two sides because of the volumes of traffic and noise, et cetera, and limits the number of intersections to ensure that traffic flows smoothly through the area. What we were able to do in this design was accommodate both those issues, but in a way that increases pedestrian safety and accessibility to the commercial area. And we did that by splitting the north and southbound flows of Keniston into two one-way systems and separated them far enough that we were able to add additional intersections within that area without having a negative impact on the traffic flow, because we were able to time the traffic signals to allow for a progression of traffic in the north and south movements independently. And the significance of that is if you drive on a street like Portage Avenue, if you're coming in the morning, all of the lights are sequenced, so as you come downtown, you generally are hitting green lights as you go in the flow of traffic. But if you try to drive out Portage Avenue at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're getting red light after red light because it's impossible to do your sequencing in both directions at the same time. By separating the north and south flows, we can address those independently and therefore get good traffic progression. In doing so, it allows us to introduce more intersections without actually causing delay to drivers, because they're going to hit all three of those intersections in green sequence. The significance of that is that it means instead of a single major intersection, such as Keniston and McGillivray, where you're trying to deal with all of those traffic movements in one giant intersection, which makes it a real challenge in terms of how you safely handle pedestrian and cycle movements, we're able to break that down into a series of smaller elements and narrower streets. So at full development, we're talking three lanes of traffic in both ways on Keniston McGillivray, but for many years, two lanes. Much easier and less daunting for a pedestrian or cyclist to cross two lanes of traffic in one direction than to cross a four-lane divided roadway with the various turn lanes, etc. So it really does create a much friendlier environment to be able to get into the town center, and therefore the town center acts as a real bridge between these neighborhoods by allowing people to walk, to cycle, to move between the new two neighborhoods without facing the barrier of a major regional street. At the same time, does not limit or impede the traffic flow on the regional street, so therefore it doesn't compromise the city's ability to address major traffic within the area. And I think it's really a very good solution in that respect. What it does, though, in terms of the urban design for this area is that it gives us an opportunity to treat the commercial differently than you would, as you would normally see where you have a major intersection. So if you can think of streets like Keniston and McGilvery, we end up with commercial pods on all four corners. Typically, the buildings are set well back on those sites with large parking lots in front of them, and the retail format tends to be a large format type of retailer with smaller shops in between. By creating the town center that we have, what we're able to do is we're going to create a center street that runs down the central core of the commercial area, so that instead of the commercial areas fronting out onto the regional streets, the commercial areas are going to front onto Center Street. And so that the traffic that's on Center Street is traffic that's really there for commercial and other use within the community. We're not mixing the commercial traffic and the through traffic in the same area. With that, and Center Street is the north-south black line that goes through the middle of this, we're going to incorporate roundabouts within that, and in addition to that, Center Street itself, it gives us an opportunity to do a different type of commercial. We're looking at a mixed-use commercial residential component along Center Street, not unsimilar to what exists on Provencher at Place Joyelle, for example, and some of the other new mixed uses that are coming up along Waterfront Drive, where you have retail on the main floor and residential above. That is then going to step down as you get closer to the outside, and we're moving into a lower medium density to a lower density townhouses along the outside edge of this. So it's a fully integrated community with residential and mixed use commercial up Center Street in the middle. The one exception of that is in the northern part of the plan. There's a larger site for a grocery store because we do recognize that people are going to be driving to pick up their groceries, for example, more typically. And then the last key element on that is that at the north and south ends of the pod, there will be business park areas with office-type development and employment opportunities within this commercial center as well. So it'll have a full mixture of uses of residential, a variety of retail uses within it, and employment lands as well. All of that's very, very consistent with where the city is moving with their new Our Winnipeg direction.
Can you go back, Veronica?
You might want to make sure that this is right. The dark brown at the north end, that is the general commercial area?
This area in here is the general commercial area, C2
and C3. In the index, it shows that as being red. So
there's a problem with the colors.
We've written the same thing in here, so I just want to make sure that everybody knows that is the general commercial area.
All right, this area here is the general commercial area.
Okay.
Up here, the mixed-use commercial residential follows Center Street up down here. That is wrapped around with residential townhouses on the two sides, here and here, and an opportunity at the south end for a little higher density multiple family. So a senior's home, for example, would fit in the south end of that in a six or an eight-story configuration. And then the two employment areas of business parks are the gray areas at the top there and at the south area in here.
So how would you access the townhomes, the brown that's in the middle, in between the green and the...
That we'll come to. This is dealing with the area structure plan.
Right.
The detailing on the street is in the subdivision plan, but in fact, we're showing the collector road system, but
right.
There's a second residential road system that provides that. So these are all fronting onto mm-hmm. public streets.
And those green notches going into the brown higher density residential, those are already planned out green spaces?
Yes, to provide connectivity, and we'll come to that when I show you the walkability, but there's the ability within this neighborhood to go for a walk around the neighborhood in a loop that takes you around the green spaces, and those little notches that you're commenting on are windows, if you will, to that from the residential area, so it's easy to flow in and out and through the area as a whole.
Interesting.
This is really the same thing in a more broad context, and I think we can just skip over that one. This ties in the overall sidewalk network, and Councillor Chair, you can see here a better illustration. Here.
Yeah.
Sorry. These are the residential streets here and over here, and they tie back into Center Street there and up in here. And in the mid-block area there. And Councillor Steeves, your comment on the green space connection, that's one of those green space connections. So you're able to walk or cycle through the commercial area all the way through and back onto the other system on the other side if you choose to do that, or float through to the commercial. We're really trying to, within the design, create as many opportunities as we can here to encourage people to walk to the facilities rather than drive.
Boats in the middle?
Can you back up a slide, Veronica, please?
Did I miss that?
One more. There are roundabouts located here and here on South Town Road.
That's right.
And again on North Town Road and there. Yeah. On Bison Drive, because of the volumes of traffic on Bison, but actually more importantly, to be able to get pedestrians across high-volume streets, those will be in signalized intersections.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay. Carry on. Once again, we've gone through this, but that's the AT system. So the AT system splits around the town center, but it also runs through the middle of the town center. And then the other walkway systems from the northwest neighborhood tie into the town center at the signalized intersections. So this comes back to my comment about one of the advantages of splitting Keniston into north and south pairs is that it facilitates the movement across the street a lot easier because you're dealing with that many fewer lanes in terms of being able to get across. I also wanted to illustrate a little bit what we're talking about when we talk about the character of the street. And this is Center Street again. So what we're proposing in terms of a commercial development will be very different in character than what we've seen in most suburban neighborhoods. I described the grocery store at the north end, which is more typical, and we do have to accommodate that within the area because that grocery store will be serving the northeast and the northwest neighborhoods. But within the overall area, what we're looking at is developing a four-lane urban street that runs through the area with main floor commercial that comes out to the property line with an opportunity for restaurants and cafes to have sidewalk or small indentations, and we're looking at multiple family mixed use above that. And I mentioned earlier that probably the best example in the city that people are familiar with is Place Royale on Provencher that's being developed by Streetside Developments a couple of years ago, and some of the new buildings that are going up on Waterfront Drive have that same kind of character. Go ahead, Veronica. And this illustrates a little bit of some of the character that we're working towards. Place Royale on Provencher is the one in the upper right-hand corner on the slide up in here. These are illustrations from other cities where we're looking at mixed use, commercial on the main floor, and 2 to 3 stories of residential above that. This is going to take some time to develop. This is not going to happen overnight, and we understand that there has to be a real critical mass of density within the neighborhoods to begin to support this. It's also going to be supported by an area that's much larger than just the local subdivision. We see the character of this street as somewhere between Academy Road, Corridon Avenue, and Provencher kind of rolled up into one, and we expect it'll be a real attraction for people to come from the southwestern part of the city when they want to get out and have more of an urban experience of strolling down a street, which is very difficult to do in most of the newer shopping centers. Do you have any questions at that point?
If it's not going to be happening right away, how are you going to protect the use intentions over time if people... Is it going to be specific enough in those ground floor uses such that you'll get the type of uses that you want? Or how does that work?
I guess the answer and the honest answer is we hope so. The experience in other cities, and we are drawing on experience in other cities to a large extent, is that because the nature of the retailers that we're looking at are not necessarily your typical retailers that you'd see in a larger format center, the national retailers, Best Buy, Future Shop, whatever they are that come in, these will be a lot more restaurant-type uses and smaller retailers that will be more local in nature. And we do expect there's a longer absorption time in the market for that. And like Waterfront Drive, I think what we'll see is probably the demand for the residential will be there before the commercial. And there has to be a certain level of patient capital, if you will, to be able to see these develop. But that's certainly the intent and will be written into the sales agreement as Manitoba Housing finds the developers to develop the sites that they will follow through. The builders need enough flexibility to build with what the market will support at that time. But it'll be caveated to the point where If we sell one of these parcels, they must build their buildings within the front part of that parcel. Parking is in behind. We really are very adamant that we don't want the reverse, and that is that the parking ends up lining the streets, which takes away that whole pedestrian character.
Well, would it be fair to say that the commercial would be sort of reflective of what we see in Osborne Village?
Yes.
That sort of restaurant and small specialty stores? And
right. I described Academy Road. I guess I should have
Academy
also.
Road.
Academy Road, Osborne Village, Corridon Avenue, with some of the restaurants that are occurring along there, Place Joyelle, Waterfront Drive. We're seeing more of this development in Winnipeg in terms of new development, but it also reflects the ability and the character of specialty fruit shops like Stephen and Andrews
and Academy.
Yeah.
Wine store.
All that whole kind of range of smaller retailers, and that's actually a real challenge in neighborhoods. If you think back in terms of what the city's been improving for new neighborhoods for the last 25 or 30 years, we've been building in very little space that accommodates, or very few spaces that accommodates that type of commercial. It's really geared more to the opportunity of national retailers to come into the sites. That's not to say that there wouldn't be a national retailer like a Second Cup in here, but we are looking at the opportunity of providing more more local and specialty retailers within the area.
But the basics will be there for sure. Like the retail spaces individually won't be that big, such that someone could barge in with some sort of big box type use.
No, for two reasons. One, the way that we've broken the spaces up, that is, they just simply aren't as large. If you look at the total area, and maybe have, or do I have that number? The total area that we're looking at in terms of the mixed use is about 20 acres in total. And combined with that, we have another 20 acres of general commercial use. 20 acres is not, you know, those two sites alone are smaller than Ladco's development to the south, where you typically see up to 50 acres in a single site. A single user, let's say Home Depot, for example, at about 130,000 square feet, typically needs about 10 acres of land. But that would be, that's really not the market that Manitoba Housing has focused on in developing this. We believe that there is adequate space elsewhere, either in Latco subdivision or to the north in the areas that are already developed. This is really a focus of a type of retail that's different than what's there today, but we believe that there's a market for this, and there's actually been a fair amount of market research done before we move forward with this application. We engaged Stevenson Realty Advisors, who did a very extensive retail outlook on this, and that's where we ended up with the acreages. The acreages aren't accidental. The acreages flowed out of a retail study to say this is what they felt is supportable with this new type of retail format.
How long is this stretch? Like how long linear? How long is this linear space here?
Say about a quarter of a mile, which is the length of a block in River Heights, for example, the neighborhood that I'm familiar with.
That's a nice size.
It's workable.
You're putting a lot of residential around it to support it, though.
Yes, we are.
The multifamily goes up quite a bit, and there's higher density that's in close proximity.
There's sort of a staged development. We have backing onto the lakes, and we think these will be reasonably premium lots. Those will be townhouse developments. So it's multiple family, but it's a two-story townhouse development, for example. Across the street from that will be two-story development. But if you're familiar with what's happened in a few other cities, there will be an opportunity with these ones. Sorry. These are townhouses here as well, but those townhouses have a back lane behind them. So the townhouses that back onto the lake have front drives. The townhouses on the opposite side of the street have a rear lane. And what we've experienced and seen in other cities is an opportunity to begin to put garages in the back with secondary suites above the garages. So it's another way of providing, first of all, increasing the overall density, which we think is really critical to making the area work. And we're not talking about high density at this point. We're just talking about a marginal increase. And it provides an opportunity, in some cases, for an economical rental opportunity, and we are close to the university. From that, you step into the next level, which is the mixed use, where we have the residential over top of the commercial, which will be four or five stories in height. So you sort of have this stepping up to Center Street and then stepping down. But the whole intent is to have the overall density within the town center higher than what you'd find in most mixed use or most residential neighborhoods.
It's got to be protected, though, Paul. I mean, that's the key. Is you can't. It has to be the use style has to be protected throughout, and that's the key. I mean, everybody loves Corydon and everybody loves Academy, but every time there's a question about a patio or something like that, try putting in a new patio or a new type of use that everyone loves, but local residents sometimes have concerns about.
Veronica is just pointing out to me that this actually is addressed within the overall report by the city in Section 6, because I think we all share that. I think your administration feels that way, as do ourselves as the planners. In this particular case, you have a developer in Manitoba Housing that also is strongly committed. So the sales agreements will be caveated to try to ensure that all of that is built in, Councillor.
What an opportunity. This could be one of the greatest areas in this city if it's done properly.
I agree with you. It's not going to happen overnight, but I think when we look back on this 20 years out, we're going to say, boy, was that ever an interesting place.
Yes. Okay. Anything more we need to know, Paul, in your presentation?
Veronica, are there anything else on this?
I think we're drilling down into more into the subdivision
rezoning stuff here I don't know what Dan and Gord are feeling here, but I've got a high level of comfort right now. We're staying consistent with the area structure plan. The overall area structure plan and much of what we're talking about we've already went through in the previous one. So
the only other point that I would leave with as well, we talked about the principle of walkability in the first neighborhood. That is also built into this neighborhood as well. So when we talked the fact that the first neighborhood is only single family, that doesn't limit the walkability options to only single family. There's a full range of options within the application.
Okay, so let me go through the list of folks who've signed public representation. Veronica Hicks, Paul McNeil, Jim Gallagher, who is around somewhere, Paul Sunderland. For information, first for information is Brock Feenstra and Lauren Lang.
They're here in support now.
The happy couple?
No, that says for information. The second happy couple.
They want to be in support.
In support. Okay. And we have Ken Wong.
Ken, I don't see him. I think, you saw him earlier.
Okay.
He's gone.
That's all the names I have. Is there anyone else who would like to fill out one of these? Seeing none.
Okay. I'm okay to...
Ready to move motions?
One final quick snapper. Densities. I see some numbers here.
Six.
Acres, dwelling units. So overall, if someone was to ask in Waverly West, what kind of batting average do we have on densities per acre? Overall, what would your short answer be?
Yeah, I can't speak for the LATCO area because I'm not as familiar with it.
Okay.
What we've been achieving when you balance the average in the first neighborhood is somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 units to the acre.
Yeah.
Typically what you'd find in a neighborhood with less mixed use would be 4 to 5. When you add in the town center, and it depends a little bit about how the builders respond, because they'll have the opportunity to build either 2 stories or 4 stories, for example, above the commercial, that density we expect to be closer to about 20 units to the acre within the town center. 20 to 30 when you take into
account. The plan says a minimum of 10 units per acre, but knowing what you know, it's going to drive up higher than the minimum.
When you begin to average in, particularly the town center, for example, it does brings that up. Yes.
But two things, I guess, pop to mind. Is first of all, when we were going through, Justin and I were talking about how long ago it was. It's hard to imagine, but when we were talking about
2006, it was like only 4 years ago when we started this whole process.
I think it was my first meeting back,
probably.
Or second meeting.
But when we were talking about this, we had all sorts of financial projections, 80-year stuff.
Yeah.
That talked, but it was based on certain densities, which we have to get to, right? Otherwise, it would throw all of those projections out of whack, as I understand it.
But these densities that we're talking about are consistent with that overall original plan.
A reminder that we haven't forgotten those.
Okay.
That's important, nor have you.
Well, let's move on. We have a meaty one in number 8. So, Councillor Swandell, do you want to...
Sure. Just a last comment on the density thing. I think it's stated in the area structure plan. It's stated in each one of these neighborhood plans what the minimum densities are. We're putting them in there to stay consistent. So it is that's drilling down in the plans. So this is on item number 7.
Number 7,
right?
Move the
report of public, Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
That the